All right, with me right now is a good friend. We haven't spoken to each other in a while, but it's so good to reconnect. And I'm talking about Ed Redlich. He is owner, ComReal, Miami, Doral, LLC, one of the top realtors, commercial realtors here in South Florida. What's going on, my friend?
I just want to say thank you so much. It's an honor, sincerely, to speak with you. Not only a true business leader, but a great American. I love your message. And there's a saying, you are who you're with, and I'm honored to be with you, my friend.
Buddy, I'm speechless. What do I say after that, right? You call me out cold. No, thank you. Thank you so much for your very, very kind words. I really appreciate it very, very much. And, you know, Diddle, my friends, what you represent and who, and since I've known you, you are a straight shooter, a guy that's got the right purpose, the right intent, full of integrity, transparent, and that's who I love to connect with. And I'm looking forward to our conversation here today because we're going to cover some really interesting things and present our audience. I want to let the audience know that we're going to be talking about, obviously, commercial real estate and what's going on. But we're also going to tap into what will lead into what we plan to do moving forward and what we believe we must do from this point on. So just stay tuned for that. Ed, tell us a little bit about ComReal and what it is you do, what are your services, and how long you've been in the business.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. ComReal is a commercial real estate company. We've played a significant role in South Florida with the commercial development, over 40 years of history. Myself, I'm over 25 years of history in the commercial real estate industry. I can tell you that what my team does primarily is work with the industrial real estate market in Miami, Florida. And I can tell you overall, the industrial real estate market, it's not only surviving, but it's thriving overall. Now, there are some industries and some companies within that market that are struggling, very challenging, a lot of unknowns. There's confusion. There's discrepancies on what they can and can't do with the workforce. We still don't have a solid exit strategy out of this. Now, the industrial market's doing very well. I can say that on the other commercial real estate assets in Miami, such as the retail market, the office space market, those might have more challenging times. But on the industrial side, thankfully, a lot of the industrial manufacturing companies, the production companies, distribution, especially food distribution, a lot of those companies have continued to operate through this pandemic. And every day, more and more businesses, small businesses to large, are getting back to work. And that's what we like to see. But, you know, overall, I think we're going to come out of this really soon. We're already starting to happen right now. The vacancy is still down. You know, Miami-Dade County, we have under 5% vacancy in our warehouse market, which is pretty good nationwide. Prices are holding for the most part. We are seeing some opportunities for buyers and tenants in the market right now. The quicker we come out of this, the prices will hold. The longer this lingers, prices will definitely start to come down in the future. But right now is a great opportunity for tenants and buyers to get good terms. And the lowest interest rates we've seen in a long time, too.
Hey, Ed, I think it was already, you know, an important part of our economy here in South Florida is the e-commerce sector. I think that I know you agree that in the advent of the at-home, working from home, and a lot of a lot of our friends that have been laid off and you know, have been without a job for 8 weeks, you know, having difficulties getting their unemployment money, you know, as well. And we've heard those stories a lot. They are now recreating themselves and are starting to do business online, creating an e-commerce platform. I would think that that is going to now feed into and strengthen even more the industrial real estate sector.
Yes, sir. And to your point, we actually have a client in the food distribution business right now that has been for the past few months looking to expand in South Florida, looking at 70,000 square feet. And to your point, part of their distribution business was e-commerce. And a few weeks ago, they said, hey, wait a minute, time out. We're hiring a consulting team. We actually think our e-commerce business is going to grow even more. So now they're looking at taking about another 30 to 40,000 square feet of space just for their e-commerce business. And yes, e-commerce is doing better in the short term, but they think long term it's going to hold. So now they're readjusting themselves. They're actually going to be leasing more space than they originally anticipated. And e-commerce is an industry that, like I say, some industries may not do well, specific companies, but others are going to find a way to survive and thrive. And when we met with them and they made this decision, you know, I've coined the phrase, delayed deals are better than dead deals, right? So there was a lot of things that were in midstream when we were working this out. And I said, hey, no problem. Let's take a time out. Let's delay this, but we'll come back to it and we'll be better than ever. Same goes to, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a lot of landlord-tenant relationships or buyers and sellers. When the economy was locked down the first couple weeks, we basically had clients on both sides of the table push themselves and walk away from the table. And we had a half a dozen of those incidents happen. But you know what? We did not lose one transaction. We talked to every party. We got everybody calmed down. We said, hey, let's just delay this. You need another few weeks in due diligence? No problem. Let's extend the contract. We're negotiating a lease agreement. You know, let's not kill this deal. Let's work through it. Let's take a time out. We'll circle back in a couple weeks. And we were able to just delay everything, and nothing died. Thank God.
It was so easy in the first week or two of all of this to be reactive, right?
Yes.
It's human nature to just put a stop on everything because it is fed by the unknown. It's fed by uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen, so we're just going to hold off on everything until we can see things developing. And that is to be expected. I mean, you saw it. You just shared an example of that. But as the weeks got by, you know, and the reality really sank in and we started to accept more of what was happening, then we took a step back, right? All of us, I believe, and started to say, well, what can I do in the meantime? You know, what can I do to reposition my business? What can I do to, you know, start putting those plans together for when the time comes to reopen the economy, right? So it got, you know, that's gotten pretty interesting there. And one of the things that you and I were talking about earlier today before getting ready for our conversation today on the show was the unique geographical position that Miami is in right now as it connects to the world and specifically Latin America. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to, Pete, because that's a very important thing. Miami is a little unique on our industrial market. We're in an international market, and a lot of folks think, well, we're just related to South America and Central America. Very true, but we also have trade routes and relationships with Asia, with Europe, and other. We're global. Miami's in a global market, so we're not as affected as domestic markets are on the industrial side. So to keep everything positive, a positive conversation, I'll keep it going. With China. China, a lot of manufacturing is going to leave. And I've been to China on trade missions in 2006, 2007. I've been semi-boycotting China for over 10 years. And there's other Asian countries that are going to get the opportunity to manufacture. Well, guess what? A lot of it's coming back to the Western Hemisphere. Some of it's coming back to the USA. Some of it's going to Central and South America and the Caribbean. And guess who's in the middle of all that? Miami, Florida, USA. We have the trade routes. We have the relationships. And, you know, God bless our other countries in this Western Hemisphere. We're all are going to succeed. We're all going to win. We're all going to benefit this in the long term. And guess what happens on July 1st? United States, the USMCA, United States, Mexico, Canada agreement takes effect. Unbelievably perfect timing, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, the United States military is conducting operations in the Southern Hemisphere and the Caribbean. And you can read stories about it. It's been publicized. You know, they're taking out the drug cartels. They're closing the tunnels. They're taking ships with these narcotics. They unsealed indictments against Maduro and Venezuela. We're taking out the corruption. We're taking out the crime. And it's going to be free, fair trade. We're also coming out of this with the lowest interest rates ever, low fuel costs, which is great for our shipping and transportation and our manufacturing industries. There's talk of the lower payroll taxes, the lower income taxes. There's an infrastructure bill of $2 trillion, which is going to put a lot of folks back to work. It'll be great for construction. It's going to be great for logistics. And, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm thinking every day I get more and more optimistic on Miami being who we are and where we are.
I never thought that I would say this, but I can't wait to see traffic jams again.
Well, how smart was the state of Florida? I've been up and down Florida, and the governor made a smart decision. He says, hey, let's expedite all of these shovel-ready projects, and let's get these roads and bridges fixed now. And they're across the state of Florida getting all that done. And then behind that, you know, we're going to have the other construction jobs. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, I think we're looking forward to it. More folks will work from home now. I think we're going to see that. But, yeah, we want to see people back to work, right? That's the goal.
That's the goal. And in that spirit, and my listeners now that are tuning in, we are now going to take a little turn here and share our voice and our opinion on what is happening and what is not happening. Okay, and this is just our thoughts on this, and take them for what it is. But Ed, you and I had a very, important conversation as well when we spoke earlier today. We are here in this country, in a country with civil liberties, right? In a country where freedom is front and center. And we understand that our elected officials, their intent is to protect their citizens in light of this very harsh virus that has affected so many of our brothers and sisters globally, and especially in this country, in our backyard. We know of folks that have family members that have passed away, and our prayers and thoughts continue to go out to them. And none of us is making light of this virus. Okay, so we want to make that very, very clear to everyone listening right now. Okay, yet we are suffering already from a far greater virus, and that is the economic virus, the shutdown of this country because of what's happening. And it is my opinion, an opinion of others, and I know Ed, share with you'd like to share. It is time. It is time to move on. It's time to reopen the economy. And we all have choices, right? We all have choices of what we want to do, not do. For many of you that are concerned about the health issues and the health threat, we respect your choices. But we also believe some of us that are ready to get out there and make it happen and work, because we do not want to depend on government handouts or stimulus, because that is not sustainable. That will break our country up, and it is time. Ed, feel free to share your thoughts.
Yes, sir. No, I couldn't agree with you more, Pete. And, let's just go back to where this started. We were told there was going to be over 2 million Americans dead from the China virus. We were told the virus is real, but 2 million Americans did not die. They said we were going to run out of ventilators. They told us we were going to run out of toilet paper. They told us we were going to run out of hospital beds. They told us we were going to be in a recession depression. They told us we had to wear masks. The masks were absolute must. You cannot challenge that. You must wear it for your own good. They told us to stay out of the sun. They told us to stay out of fresh air. They closed our parks. They closed our beaches. They told us all to stay home, and they told us to be scared. okay? They told us all these things. Well, guess what? Now we've had 2 months to observe this, okay? And any human being, any rational human being can look and see none of those things happened. There is no compelling reason to lock down the United States of America. America needs to open yesterday, 100%. And if somebody doesn't like it, they can stay home. They don't have to go to work. They don't have to go out. But leave the rest of us alone and let us get back to work. There is no legal authority. And I'll ask you, and I'll ask the audience, other than you and I, Pete, where are our local business leaders on this? Name me one. Name me one politician who says end the lockdown. Where are our legal professionals that come out and say, hey, this is unconstitutional to close businesses? It's unconstitutional to put people on house arrest. It's unconstitutional that they don't have the right to assemble in groups 10 or more. Where are they? The challenge is unconstitutional to force a citizen in the United States of America to wear a mask when they're not even sick. Where are our civil liberties groups? Where are they? They're non-existent. I mean, other than you and I can name not one business leader that will stand up for the people, for the citizens, for small businesses.
Ed, we're living in the mecca of small businesses. There are more small businesses in South Florida than any other part of the country. We continuously rank number one in startups. Okay, this is a small business community. We have thousands and thousands of small businesses, and the majority of those small businesses are micro-owned businesses. They were hit hard from day one. They are the ones that missed out on the first round of funding for the SBA PPP program. It is only now the second round when we looked around and sectors, you know, the government wise up and said, wait a second. You know, these larger companies that by definition are small businesses, right, are not really small businesses. It is the small guy. It's the small guy that's leasing the warehouses that you know, that you're a part of, right? Those are the ones that have been hit. And those are the ones that are being told you can't go out because your business is not essential. I think in the lives of any small business owner, their business is very essential. Period. End of story.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the really disgusting part, Pete. This was intentional. I mean, we've had enough time to observe what's going on. And in my opinion, everybody knows it. And they've made these laws. And there's another group out there. It's not the folks that are making the laws and putting the rules that I blame too much. Who I really blame is what I call business bullies. When you say, I want to go back to work, and these business bullies call you stupid, and they laugh at you, and they say you're being selfish. Yeah. I mean, how dare they? And, you know, what happened to our values? What happened to American values? I mean, what happened to being self-reliant and personal responsibility and liberty and leaving people alone? You know, that's gone out the window, and nobody's standing up for business owners because they're intimidated and they're scared. And our neighbors are snitching on us. Our fellow citizens are calling hotline numbers. There's websites set up to turn in businesses, to turn in your fellow citizen. And if you dare to challenge, you talk about American value, actually having your own opinion like we're doing now, to actually have a free thought, free thinking, well, guess what? We're outside of the mainstream. You know what are they going to do? They're going to report us because we're contradicting the mainstream thought, the group think, when we've had 2 months to show scientifically that we're right and they're wrong, to show legally and constitutionally that we're right and they're wrong, or at least to have a discussion about it. You can't even have a discussion about it, and you can't even voice a contrarian point of view. And I tell you what, I'd also have to mention the one other leader in the state of Florida is Attorney Anthony Sabatini. He's also a Florida state representative. And on May 1st, he won his case for a small business owner. And the Florida state attorney, you know, this guy opened Kitchen Tables Games in Pinellas Park, Florida. and the police came and shut his business down and arrested this gentleman and was charging him with operating a business during the lockdown of a non-essential business. Mr. Sabatini, on May 1st, had that case thrown out. The state of Florida attorney threw that out. It is illegal for the state of Florida or the county or city government to shut down, lock down a business. It's unconstitutional, and they knew it. They won't even take it to trial because they don't want to lose the trial. So in my opinion, open up your businesses, go back to work, because the law is the United States Constitution.
And we've forgotten about that. And unfortunately, there are some leaders, government leaders, some of the governors of other states, that they're beyond the side of protecting their citizens. It is more, and it's so obvious, it's a show of power. I just read, right before we started our conversation, Ed, the governor of California is going to be reopening the beaches in California with a caveat that you must wear your mask. Now, come on, think about this. We're walking in the open air, and if we are social distancing, which has been the biggest, you know, issue here, why they've opened and then closed down the beaches, right? Wearing a mask in the open air, when you should be breathing the ocean air, and now you got to wear a mask? That is bad for your health.
Pete, are we even living in the real world? And with all due respect to our mayor, who I have supported on times, he went on television publicly and said, we will allow you to play basketball at the park in public, but by yourself, and you must wear a mask. And we are serious about this. And if you don't do it, we will make an example of you, and we will arrest you. Now, where is the Constitution on that? It's the law because Miami-Dade County. Oh, yeah, it's the law. It says in Miami-Dade County, but it's unconstitutional, you know. So I believe, I think we need some civil disobedience, is my opinion. And I'll go one step further. This governor of California and these other people, they do not give a damn about the people. They really don't. It's about the election. That's all this is about. You know, the China trade deal, the same week that the Chinese were forced to sign the China trade deal because they didn't want to pay the tariffs anymore. And all that we asked, all that the United States of American people asked was, we want a fair trade deal. And we got that. Well, the Chinese didn't like a fair deal. So the week that the Chinese USA first trade agreement was signed was the first week that the first person came to the airport in Seattle and was diagnosed with the China virus. The same week. You talk about coincidence. And then what happened a few weeks later? Oh, the impeachment of the President of the United States failed. Okay, and then almost immediately, we have the China virus pandemic. The economy crashes. The media is telling you over 2 million Americans are going to die. They don't give a damn about us, and they think we're stupid. That's the disgusting part.
It's a shame. And like I said, this is a free country. We have civil liberties. I'm just saying in general terms, if you are, you know, nervous about going back to your office or going out in public because of your concern about the coronavirus, then you are entitled to feel that way. And if you feel you don't want to go out, you don't go out. And if you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask out there. That's okay.
Yes, sir. And I know you and I, we would support that person, and we would help that person, and we would encourage that person. We would keep that person safe.
I'm not gonna mock that person. You're not gonna mock that person. You're not gonna point fingers.
Sir.
You're not gonna tell them how ridiculous you look. That's their choice.
But these business bullies will mock us, and they will hate us, and they will dismiss us. And you know, I'll just say that you know, you and I, as business leaders in our community, you know, we have a moral duty. You know, Martin Luther King, he talked about moral duty. He talked about civil disobedience. It is our duty to disobey unjust laws. And at some point, which is now, we're past the point, you know, we need to get back to work, you know, in my opinion, no matter what they say. And, you know, I would say this is a time for action. You know, contact your local and state reps. I've contacted my state reps. I've contacted the senators. I've contacted the governor. I've given them my opinion. We need to know our constitutional rights. And we need to get back to work.
That's all we ask. And
yes, sir.
Anyone that is a true worker that busts his behind every day to work, support their family, to run a business, all right, to do it the right way, that's all we want. That's all they want. They're not interested in government handouts. They're not. And this, we cannot keep manufacturing and printing money, because what's going to happen is that we are now going to be a subservient to the world. And we're going to need money. We're going to have to borrow money. And guess who we're going to have to borrow money from? The one place, right. You know, and you know what we're talking about. So right. When does this stop? When is the right time to say, okay, the coast is clear? What is that level of satisfaction for everyone? When there's no more new cases, when no one else dies from this? Really?
Yeah. And the government officials, the government officials and these other so-called business leaders will say, oh, we are taking care of you. Shut your business down. Stay at home. We're going to counterfeit money. If you go to the USDebtClog.org website, you see that we're $25 trillion over debt. Nobody's talking about that. They're just printing money, and then they're loaning out to us. Some of the businesses that are getting the money don't need it, and some of the businesses that really truly need it aren't getting it. And I have talked to, and I've called, and I've written my our representatives, and I said, you know how you can help? You know how you can help? Open up the business. Your policies at this point are doing much more harm than you're being helpful. You know, thank you very much, but get out of our way.
Yeah, and this idea of going around with the Democrats in Congress about now all of a sudden providing a stimulus of $2,000 per person over 6 years for what looks like an indefinite period of time, that robs our opportunities to create and to be incentivized to produce. This is a country of producing. It's not a country of receiving. It's a country of producing, making things happen, creating an economy, creating jobs. That's how this country runs. This country does not run on handouts. It doesn't. It doesn't. So, Ed, this has been a refreshing conversation. I thank you for your honesty, for your expertise in what you do. We just, at this point, and I'm going to start closing the show now. I want to thank you, Ed, for being with us today. And how can the listeners connect with you to find out more about ComReal and how you can possibly help them?
Thanks so much, Pete. I would say if folks want to reach out to me, easiest to visit our website at www.miamiindustrialteam.com, and you can check us out and see what we do. But more importantly, Pete, more important than business, because to us, you know, we're going to be all right. The reason I'm speaking out and the reason I'm putting my head out there is because there's a lot of our customers and clients who can't or won't do so. So we're doing this on their behalf. We're doing this for the people, for our friends, for our customers. So thank you so much. I really think, Pete, that, you know, thank you so much for giving us a voice. You know, it's not just me here on the phone with you. It's hundreds and hundreds of small business owners and their employees. So thank you, and keep up the great work.
Buddy, we are really on this together. And you know, by doing that, we will get this thing moving forward. Thank you, my friend. And take care of yourself, and God bless.
Yeah, where we go one, we go all. God bless, Pete. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it, man. Take care of yourself. All right, bye-bye.